Today is Wednesday, April 17th. The title for our devotional is The Work of the Paraclete. Now, normally it's a pet peeve of mine when Bible teachers unnecessarily use Greek or Hebrew words, but since there isn't a great translation of paraclete, as we discovered yesterday, I'll make an exception for this one. All right, so before we dive into the text today, in the context of this passage in John 14 supports the topics from the previous 2 weeks as well. In 13:14, a few verses prior to where we picked up here this week, Jesus tells them, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Then he launches into this discussion of the Spirit, which implies the need for power. So here again, the Spirit is the source of power. Obedience is also a key theme here, as we will see as we read through the text today. John 14:15-17. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." There it is, that obedience theme. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then John 14:25-31 reads, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." John 16:7-15, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." As we said yesterday, Jesus here is seeking to comfort his disciples who are concerned by his statement that he is leaving and they cannot follow him. A part of how he comforts them is by promising them the Holy Spirit. Jesus reveals to them that the Holy Spirit will advocate for them, or he will help them, in a number of ways. First, he will teach them all things and remind them of Jesus' teaching in 14:26. The Holy Spirit revealed to them the true theological meaning of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. He reminded them of the teaching of Jesus so that they could record it for subsequent believers in the New Testament. Secondly, he will give them peace in 14:27. Remember, the disciples were freaking out at the thought of Jesus leaving. Jesus reassures them that the Spirit he will give them will bring them peace. Remember, that peace is also among the fruit of the Spirit as well. The Spirit of God produces peace in the life of the believer. This is a characteristic of the dawning of the kingdom of God and the new covenant era of God's story. Third, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The world here refers to the created order in rebellion against God. The Holy Spirit, he convicts the world of sin. This is a gracious act on the part of God. This conviction is designed to bring sinful humans to recognize their need for a Savior and therefore turn to Jesus. Conviction of righteousness is an admittedly strange formulation. Likely it refers to convicting the world of its false forms of righteousness. He likely has the Jews and their strict legalistic forms of worship in mind. The Spirit continues Jesus' work of revealing the emptiness of self-righteousness apart from Christ. Jesus' followers will then live more aligned to the way of God, even than the self-righteous Pharisees, because they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He will also convict the world of judgment, he says, in the sense of their spiritual blindness in rejecting Jesus. He will reveal that they made the wrong judgment about Jesus. Fourth, he says that the Spirit will guide them into all truth in 16:13. The Spirit will reveal to them the true theological meaning of the gospel and to help them discern truth in life, as we've covered already this week. Fifth, he will glorify Jesus in 16:14. Jesus has already said that he is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. So the Spirit will reveal Jesus. He reveals the truth about who Jesus is and what he accomplished on the cross, and his exaltation in the resurrection and ascension. He reminds the disciples of Jesus' teaching. He will reveal to them what they need to know in light of future events, that is, how to live the way of Jesus in the midst of persecution from Nero, as an example. In all things, the Spirit glorifies Jesus. This is what is meant by 14:26, when Jesus says that the Father will send the Spirit in Jesus' name. In 16:7, Jesus says that it is to his disciples' advantage that he goes away and the Holy Spirit comes. The presence of the Holy Spirit with believers then in this era of redemption history is not to be taken for granted. Whereas in his earthly ministry, Jesus restricted himself to the laws of time and space, the Spirit can now indwell millions of believers all over the world at the same time, empowering them to know the truth of Jesus and live the way of Jesus forever. That is pretty awesome. Considering all the things that the Holy Spirit does in the Christian life to support, strengthen, and help believers, spend some time today thanking God for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.